Today is our last message in this series on influence, and as we kick this off today, let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5 one more time, and we'll read those familiar verses that we have been looking at throughout this series as sort of the foundation for talking about being people of influence in this world. Matthew chapter 5, and by the way, I hope that you will enjoy the beautiful black screens today. I had these awesome slides that I had put together for you, worked on them a long time, had this one chart that was just so cool, man, I was so proud of it, and I popped my thumb drive in the computer this morning, loaded it on there, took it out, set it on my desk, and walked out the door. So, if you can just kind of imagine what these slides would look like, they were really good, I'm telling you. And I hate that too, because they were going to help a lot this morning, but you know, when you get older, you tend to forget things sometimes. I forgot my sermon notes one time, you remember that? That was fun. So it's just the slides today, but anyway, we can still make sense of this, I hope. Matthew chapter 5, you got it? Starting in verse 14. Jesus is speaking to the crowds, those who are following him, and he says these incredible words, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Why don't we take just a moment and pray again? I know we just prayed, but let's just pray. Father, one of our men prayed this morning before the service of how this past week has been a typical week of the world and everything in it fighting for our attention, calling for our allegiance, and how thankful we are, Lord, that we have the privilege of being able to gather here like this today and take an hour and do nothing but focus upon you. I pray, Lord, we would never get used to this. I pray that we would never take this for granted. It is a privilege that we get to do this. And we thank you for this time. Lord, there are a lot of different needs represented in this place this morning. There are people at very different stages of their journey, both in life and in their spiritual walk. And I just ask, Father, that your word would speak to each person today. Your word is truth. It is the only truth that we have in this world. And I just pray that as I try to present your holy word today, that your spirit would take what I say that perhaps doesn't come out so well sometimes and just make it into something beautiful, something useful, and really apply it to each and every heart that's in this room this morning. And Lord, take us from this service today and from this series on influence, and I pray that you would make us people of great godly influence in this world. We ask that our lives would be forever changed because of what we've heard these past few weeks, and start a fresh desire in each of us, Lord, for our lives to be an influence for you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus told his followers in these verses that they were the light of the world, and he challenged them to let their light shine. And what Jesus is saying here is that not only are we people of influence, but he is telling us not to hide our influence, not to be afraid to let our light, our godly influence spread out to others like a light shining in a dark room. We need to use our influence, he's saying. And just like I told you on our first Sunday together in this series, how light is an agent of change. How when a light is turned on, it repels the darkness and it brings light to the room so that everybody in the room can see. In the very same way, Jesus is saying that you and I, as followers of His, thank you, Chip, as followers of His, we are agents of change. As the Holy Spirit works through your life and through my life, we have the extraordinary opportunity of seeing the Holy Spirit's power flow through us and affect the lives of the people around us. Just like that video we saw on our first Sunday here in this series of those dominoes. How when that one domino was pushed over, how the influence of that one domino spread and affected all the other dominoes around it. But to truly expand our influence for Christ, we have to learn to think beyond ourselves. We have to learn to think beyond our own life. We must think in terms of reproducing our influence into the lives of other people and help them learn how to reproduce that influence into the lives of others around them as well. And so that's what we want to focus on this morning, is reproducing our influence. Reproducing our influence. Ask yourself the question, what would it look like if you reproduced yourself, your influence, into other people? This idea of reproducing our influence is one that is not front and center in a lot of churches, because there's not a lot of glory in man's eyes to being a discipler, to reproducing our influence. It's not that hot of a topic. A lot of churches are good at winning people to Christ, but then they just sort of leave them there and don't do anything with them after that point. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning for a few minutes is the importance of reproducing our influence into the lives of others. And to just help illustrate this, you know, we learned all this when we were little kids, but if we just go to the natural world for a second and think about this, we understand that lions reproduce lions. Yeah, we've never seen a lion reproduce a fish. Lions reproduce lions. Birds reproduce birds. Trees reproduce trees. Same with humans. Humans reproduce humans. The point is that things reproduce what they are. Things reproduce what they are. This is true not only in the natural world, it's true in the spiritual world as well. And if you're taking notes, you may want to write this down. This is an important principle. You can teach what you know, but you will reproduce what you are. You can teach what you know, but you will reproduce what you are. How comfortable would you be telling those around you to follow your example? The Apostle Paul did this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." If you have a quick temper and very little patience, how comfortable would you be telling those around you to follow your example? If you're a person who constantly shades the truth, how comfortable would you be telling those around you to follow your example? And the truth is, we make a mistake in thinking that the only people who are spiritual role models are people like me who stand behind a pulpit like this every Sunday. That's not the truth. There is somebody watching you. And there is somebody who's trying to be like you, whether you know it or not. I remember many years ago, I was sitting in a a waiting room of a car, you know, a repair shop. I seem to spend a lot of time in those places. I was there 2 days this week, in fact. And years ago, I was sitting there, and I was, you know, I normally always try to have a book with me to read when I'm stuck like that, and I didn't have one, kind of like today, you know, forgot my slides, I forgot my book there that day. So I was forced to sit in this waiting room and read Southern Living and Women's Journal, you know, Red Book, and I'm telling you, a man can only read that for so long before completely coming unglued. And I finally found a sports magazine over there. I don't remember which one it was, but so I was so thankful for that, and I sat there and I was reading it slowly, man. I was reading every word, every line, every paragraph of that sports magazine to try to make it last as long as I could. But I remember reading a story on Charles Barkley, the basketball player who then was at the height of his career. And they were interviewing Charles, and they said to him, Charles, how does it feel to be a role model? And Charles replied by saying, I am not a role model. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, yes, you are. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to be or not, you are a role model. There are hundreds of thousands of kids around the world who watch you play basketball, Charles, and they want to be just like you. They want to dunk like you. They want to talk like you. They want to dress like you. You are a role model. And the fact is that even for us who are not pro basketball players, the world is watching us and other people are watching us and they are following our example. This is why in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says to us, set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. The question is not, will I reproduce my influence, good or bad? You will reproduce your influence. The question is, what will be the result of what you reproduce? What will be the result? If you've ever studied philosophy, and I don't really recommend it, there are some great ideas in philosophy that help us understand things, but there are a lot of kooks in philosophy, too, that are really just strange people, you know, studying meaning and existence and all of this sort of thing. Some very odd ideas emerge. But one of the things that interested me in reading a little about philosophy is when people are trying to find truth, when they're trying to find what is right and wrong, you and I have God's Word, by the way, that we can go to answer that question every time. We don't have to try to find it in other ways. But one of the questions that they ask is, in determining if something is good or bad, right or wrong, they ask the question, well, what would it look like if everybody did that? For example, if someone said, is lying good or bad? Well, again, fortunately, we have God's Word to kind of make that clear to us. But they would answer that question by asking the question, well, what would it look like if everybody lied? Well, it would create a world that would be in chaos. It would be a disaster. Is being helpful and friendly good or bad? Well, what would it look like if everybody in the world was helpful and friendly? And so to sort of take that idea and apply it to our life and ask the question, what would it look like if everybody lived the way I live? That's an interesting question. What would it look like if everybody served or didn't serve as much as I do? What would it look like if everybody was as honest or as dishonest as me? What would it look like if everybody had the same level of moral integrity that I have? What would it look like if everybody made the same choices as me on a day-to-day basis? What would this world look like? And this really helps us get a handle on this idea of reproducing our influence and the fact that we can't get away from the truth that we will reproduce what we are. Someone once wrote this thing about basically taking this same idea and applying it to the church. And I saw this years ago, and I tucked it away and knew that I'd probably use it one day. And again, I had this for you on a slide, but just listen to this. I'll just read part of this. They said, "What would your church look like if all the members were just like you? Would anyone be on time? Or would anyone even show up? Would anyone keep their commitments? Would anyone pray? Would anyone be friendly? Would anyone use their talents and gifts? Would anyone give financially? Would anyone speak a cheerful word to others? Would anyone teach a Sunday school class?" And on they went, asking these questions, with the final question: if everyone were just like you, what would your church be like? Now, that can be a little intimidating for us to think about that, because none of us wants to reproduce all that we are. We all have areas in our life where God is at work and He's changing us, and none of us want to reproduce all that we are. But when we think about our Christian influence, one of the good bits of news is that we are not out to reproduce ourselves. We are out to reproduce followers of Jesus Christ. We're out to reproduce what He's doing in our life into the lives of others. And it means that we don't have to be perfect to be a Christian. We don't have to be perfect to be a godly influence. Because our goal is not to reproduce ourselves. Our goal is to reproduce followers of Jesus Christ. We've talked about Matthew 5:14 a lot through this series, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." But I've kept one verse from you until the very last Sunday in this series. I've been itching to share it with you because I want to keep the right balance in this idea of we are the light of the world. Not only did Jesus say in Matthew 5 that you are the light of the world, but He said in John 8:12 about Himself, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." So when we talk about letting our light shine, we need to understand that as Christians, we're not really talking about our light shining. We're talking about the light of Christ being reflected through us. We're just like the moon. The moon has no light in and of itself. The moon only reflects the light of the sun to us. And in much the same way, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, only reflect the light of God through our life. We are not creating our own light, and we're not asking people to follow us per se. We're asking them to follow Jesus who is living in us. My goal as a Christian is not to reproduce myself, but to reproduce the influence of Jesus. And since Jesus is our model for this, I spent some time thinking through the influence of Jesus while He was here on this earth. And this was one of those places where the chart would be so helpful. But if you can just try to picture this, let me just say this first. When Jesus was on earth, His focus was on people. His focus was on making disciples. In fact, He said in Matthew 28:19, we all know this verse, don't we? Jesus said, "Go and make converts of all nations." Is that what He said? Yeah. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." It's easier to make converts than it is to make disciples. Why? Because making disciples takes time. We have some folks here in our church who really are plugged into this idea of making disciples. They understand it completely, and they live for making disciples of other people. So Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of other people. But in His ministry, as He was focused on people, you remember earlier on in this series we talked about our spheres of influence. And the spheres of influence in Jesus' life are very interesting to me. He had, if you will, in the largest circle, he had the crowds, the thousands of people who were following him. And to the crowds, he shared his teaching. But then within that circle, he had the 72 disciples. Often people don't know that Jesus had more than 12 disciples. But he had 72 that he worked with, and he sent them out on different assignments. And to these 72, he shared his ministry. And then within that circle of 72, there were the 12 disciples that we're all familiar with. And to those 12, he shared his leadership. But then within that circle of 12, there were the three. Anybody remember who they were? Peter, I heard somebody say it. Peter, James, and John. And to those three, Jesus not only shared his teaching and his ministry and his leadership, but he shared his life. He poured his life into those three men in his inner circle. Now, who did Jesus love most? Did he love the three more than the 12, more than the 72, more than the thousands? No, he loved them all the same. But he understood that there was no way that he could reproduce his influence into the lives of the thousands of people who were following him. Because most of them were following just for a little while, and then they sort of dropped off and went and did their own thing. And so Jesus did not take the time to invest his life and all of his time into the thousands of people who were following him. Out of those thousands, there were 72 who sort of took the next step of commitment to follow Christ. And with them, he shared his ministry. He gave them responsibilities, sent them on assignments. But then within those 72, there were the 12 that he had chosen, because he knew that these men, with the exception of Judas, who dropped out of the circle, as you know, the 11 went on to be those who really were the foundation of the church. And you and I are here today worshiping Jesus because of those men and the influence that Jesus had in their life and the fact that they carried on his leadership. But then with the three in the inner circle, Jesus was able to pour his life into those three men. And they were privileged to be a part of certain things in his ministry that the others were not a part of. Now, the point is this: as we talk about reproducing our influence into others, we need to understand that this is going to work much the same way in our life as it did in the life of Christ. As we go through our life, we will have hundreds, maybe thousands of people over the course of our lifetime that we have an opportunity to interact with or touch in some small way. But we'll never be able to personally, intimately, deeply affect all of those people for Christ. And so as we try to zoom in a little bit closer and closer, we will have just a small handful of people in our lifetime that we have the privilege of really investing ourselves into and reproducing our influence into. Let me ask you, do you have anybody in your life who you are able to pour your life into? Anyone at all? As ministry leaders of this church, let me challenge you, folks, to pray that God will send you one person who you can take under your wing and you can help shepherd and train and teach and pour your life into to help bring that person up to follow in your footsteps after you're gone. We need to be in the business of reproducing our influence for Christ. Do you have anybody in your world that you can pour your life into one-on-one? If not, I would challenge you, your prayer starting this week, to pray, Lord, send me one person. Don't pray for five, don't pray for 18. Pray for one person that God would send into your life that you could really begin to reproduce your influence into. And I'll tell you what, God will send you that person in time. He will. I am very thankful for the men in my life over the years who have chosen to take me under their wing and help disciple me and to help pour their life into me. These men have shared certain scriptures with me, and I can't tell you the number of times that I have heard that verse mentioned years later. I've read it myself, and so many memories have come flooding back to me of that man sharing that verse with me at a particular time in my life when I needed it. I can't tell you the number of times that I have been faced with taking a step of faith for God, and I had no idea how it was going to turn out. But I would pause in that moment and I would think of those men who have poured their life into me one-on-one. And I would think of all the times that I got to witness in their life where they had to take a huge step of faith. And their witness still lived on with me to this day and encouraged me to step out for God. The way that they boldly followed Christ, the love that they had for Him and for others, it's an incredible, incredible testimony in my life. Why? Because someone was willing to allow me to step out of the crowd and to step into their inner circle and be a part of their life. As we think about this idea of reproducing our influence into the lives of others, I want to challenge you again to begin to pray that God would send you one person that you can impact, one person that you can reproduce your life into. I'll tell you, church, our lives are passing very quickly by us, very quickly. What kind of influence are we going to leave behind when our life is over? Will there be people on this earth after we're gone who will still be following Christ faithfully because you and I were a godly influence in their life? When I was a kid, I remember riding in a boat, a friend's boat overseas. They used to do a lot of skiing, and sometimes I would sit in the... They had this real ski boat, and they had couple of the chairs that were backwards in the boat so that you could watch the guy doing the ski jumps and all that sort of stuff. And I remember a lot of times sitting in that boat, looking backwards as the boat was going, and I would watch the wake of the boat and how the boat would churn up the water and there would be this beautiful wake that would kind of spread out. But you know, if you look far back to the end of that wake, you'll see that it only lasts for a few seconds, and then it disappears. But the effect of that wake ripples out all the way across the water. And it's much the same in our lives. Listen, folks, we're heading through this life at blinding speeds, and it's going to be over before we know it. And behind our life, we are leaving a wake. We're leaving a wake of influence. What does that wake look like? What does that influence look like? Because it's going to be gone like that. It's going to be gone. Are we reproducing a godly influence into the lives of other people? Will there be anything that trails behind our life that shows that we were followers of Jesus, faithful men and women? And I pray that the effect of our lives, even though it passes quickly, will be something that leaves behind a godly influence. This whole series has been pointed towards encouraging us. First of all, telling us that we are people of influence. Because a lot of times, as I said, we go through the Christian life and we don't believe that we're people of influence. But I've shown you from scripture after scripture how you and I are people of influence. But really the point of this series has been not only to tell us that we're people of influence, but to help us find ways to expand that influence for the kingdom of God. Guys, we have an extraordinary opportunity just to be alive and to be followers of Jesus. You think about, just do the math sometime. Imagine if just 50 people from this church got serious about this and said, I want my life to be a tremendous influence for the kingdom of God. Imagine if over the next 5 years, each of those 50 people poured their life into three other people over the course of 5 years. It's 150 people. And imagine if they trained each of those three people to, over the next 5 years, pour their life into another three people. And each of those people did the same thing. You multiply that out just a few steps, and it's mind-boggling to think about the impact that your life and my life can have for the kingdom of God. If you will just ask God to use you, He will. He will. If you'll ask God, like we looked at recently, to burden your heart for something, and then have the courage to step out by faith and follow the prompting that God is putting in your heart for that burden. Say, God, make me a person of influence. God will do incredible things through your life for His glory. My challenge to you today as we close this series is for you to not be content to be a churchgoer. Don't be content to just come and fill up a chair on Sundays. Be the kind of person who says, God, I want my life to make a difference in this world for you. I want to be an influence for Christ. Show me where to start, God. Open a door for me. Prompt my heart for something, but help me to take that first step of faith to follow you and make my life a life of godly influence. Let's pray. Father, every one of us in this room today, if we have given our lives to Christ, owe that to somebody. There's someone that we can thank for bringing the message our way in one way or another and helping us come to know Christ. Lord, I pray that that ripple of influence would not stop with us. I pray that we would be absolutely determined and completely intentional about this business of being an influence. And I pray that it would be our desire, Lord, to reproduce the influence that has been passed on to us into the lives of other people, that they can come to know Christ, that their lives can be impacted by His love and His message, and that we can be just part of the chain of faithful men and women throughout history who have spread your word and who have been an influence in the lives of others. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who does not know you, maybe they've never opened their heart to you in the first place, I pray that this morning they would receive you into their life and that they could begin from today to be a man or woman of influence. Lord, help us to be attentive to this matter in our lives. I pray that we wouldn't just be churchgoers. Lord, we've got too many of them today in the world. I pray we would be determined to be men and women of godly influence. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.